is out there, and tonight on I Want to Believe, the truth is almost entirely within the realm of reality.
Huh. Huh.
Gonna be a strange one here tonight on Podzilla 1985. Allie, you have something to say?
I was gonna say boring. Boring.
It's kind of rude. Welcome to I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Agent Shannon Young. With me tonight, I'm an agent now. I'm in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Calvin Hebert.
What's up?
Who is my... I'd say he's the Scully to my Mulder. But he also believes. So...
Are you two living in sin together?
Have you read the Bible? Technically, I don't think we're supposed to be wearing pants right now.
That's women.
What?
They're wearing pants. Except Lindsay. She's wearing a skirt.
I have leggings.
And she has leggings. Allie Hebert down at the end of the table.
Hi.
No, I'm not even sure if that's the Bible. I just... It was some religion somewhere.
It was. I think it was Leviticus.
Leviticus?
Yeah, that's it. And then Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
Who is the Skinner to my Mulder.
I'm just no one?
You're Krycek.
Thanks.
You're Krycek. You sit over there and be Krycek. You're Deep Throat. Oh, that's a bad one. Don't be that one.
Wow.
That was a character on the show. His name was Deep Throat. Yes. He was the first informant for Mulder. And then he died. Spoiler mm-hmm. alert. And then they brought, I think his name was like X or Mr. X.
Spoiler Jesus, alert for a show that's yeah. from the
30 like, years old yeah. now. Some people like don't like spoilers. I don't know.
You've had plenty of time to watch it.
I want to apologize in advance if my voice goes out over the show tonight. For some reason, I'm losing my voice. I don't know why.
Did you talk too much with Asa today?
I think I did talk too much with Asa Gray today. And also, I woke up with just the worst case of acid reflux, which I haven't had this bad in months. I think partially is because I ate an entire pizza yesterday. An entire pizza from Casey's, the best pizza. Breadsticks from Casey's. And then for dinner, we had... Spaghetti and meatballs, which was also a marinara. And then I had like 8 glasses of Pepsi.
That is probably what did
it. So never doing that again because I feel awful.
You say that.
And then
next
I had
week.
My next day off. And then I had that damn Krispy Kreme donut that Allie jammed down my
yes,
throat basically.
That's what happened.
Which was just filled with sugar.
Oh. Yeah, I need something with like protein now.
Yeah
I know. That's how I feel.
I had to bust open a bottle of water I was saving for tomorrow just to wash down the sugar. Like, get out of my mouth. You're too sweet. I
washed it down with a Mellow Yellow.
That's not... You know what? No. That Mellow Yellow is way less sweet than those damn
it
donuts.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Oh, my God. Those donuts were terrible. Like, they're not even bad.
It's sure, like, you could eat, like, a fourth of one and be fine.
I took one bite. Literally, the first bite I took, my T-cells went down.
You also don't consume a lot of sugar, though.
I don't. Yes, I'm aware what T-cells are.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the funny part. Tonight on the show, I mentioned it at the beginning, it's not very supernatural. It's actually a lot of real life stories, which in some cases are very interesting. And in one particular case, I believe to be one of the creepiest things I've ever read. And hopefully I'll give you guys the creep factor too when I'm reading it.
Is it the Tom DeLonge story?
No, that's just funny. And our main topic tonight, we're going to be talking about scary stories to tell in the dark. We saw it over the weekend, all of us except Calvin.
Yeah, because I don't go to the movie theater.
And I don't know, are you going to watch it? Are you excited for that one at all?
If it comes out, yeah. Or when it comes out.
If it comes out.
Then we won't
do any spoilers. They're not sure.
It'll be a spoiler-free review. We'll do it tonight. We're going to do it on Thursday. But
I don't care if you spoil it.
Like, well, for fine. People listening, okay. You know. We're also going to be talking about, it created a kind of a controversy. The argument, once again, do you have to have an R rating to make a successful scary movie? I don't think you do, but a lot of people do. And we're going to be talking about that later tonight in the main topic. But first, let's start off where all good supernatural shows start off, in the world of politics.
I mean, we were just talking about Scully and Mulder, so.
That's true. And when they weren't chasing aliens, you know what they were chasing? The facts in Washington. Bringing down corrupt governments and whatnot. And the smoking man. Cigarette smoking man. Remember him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hot start tonight. All right. So let's talk about Jeffrey Epstein. And you're probably wondering, why are we talking about Jeffrey Epstein? First off, do you know who Jeffrey Epstein is?
Yes.
Or Epstein. I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm going to say Epstein.
I actually read the article at work over the weekend.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh. Calvin?
I did not read the article over.
I will give you some insight into it. So Jeffrey Epstein, again, Epstein, Epstein, whichever. Just call him Epstein. We'll call him Jeffy. So Jeffy.
Jeffy's house.
Jeffy is a rich white man.
Yeah.
He's a pedophile. He's a child rapist. Yeah. So we're off to a good start already. And yeah. I made sure that I could legally say that because even though he is dead, there's still the thing of like, you know, slander. And I don't want to get on here. And he was never convicted of anything or so I thought. And then I remembered he actually was tried. And I don't know if he was convicted or he cut a deal in 2008 or 2009 on the same stuff. And got the sweetest deal of a lifetime. A deal so good that when this happened, when he was arrested again for child sex trafficking, that the guy that helped get him a deal, who was in the Trump administration, I think it was Acosta, he actually resigned his position in Trump's cabinet because the heat was so hot from the deal he made, Jeffrey Epstein. Well, Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell in the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York on Saturday the 10th from an apparent suicide. They say apparent because, as you will see, the story gets a lot weirder. It gets a lot
messier.
More, yeah. So rich man hired God knows how many underage girls to do massages, stuff that already sounds creepy, but then you factor in the fact that he had sex with a lot of them. Apparently he was trafficking these girls to other people. The reason that it's so important is because Epstein was friends with a lot of people in high places, including former President Bill Clinton and current President Donald Trump. So let's rewind and let's just get that out of the way first. So rich white guy goes to jail for something he got arrested for already. He is now associated with the current president of the United States. And now he's dead.
Uh-huh.
The suicide came after new files were unsealed, I believe also over the weekend, like the day before, if I remember correctly, very damaging to his case. He had previously been on suicide watch after being found unconscious with marks on his neck, but for some reason was taken off suicide watch about 2 weeks ago. 12 days before he killed himself, he was taken off suicide watch. He also did not have a cellmate. His cellmate got pulled, and having a cellmate apparently is a big deterrent against suicide in jail, mm-hmm. because you have somebody there kind of watching out for you. So
depends on who your cellmate is, but yeah. Sure.
Well, from what I understand, he became friends with his cellmate. They were close. So when they pulled the cellmate, they took him off suicide watch for reasons no one knows. There's been a lot of claims and wondering about why exactly this happened.
Did both those things happen at the same time?
That I'm not sure. I know he didn't have a cellmate, and that may have been after his first attempt at suicide. Because they had found him 6 days. How was it? 6 days. He was on suicide watch for 6 days. And then 12 days later, he was taken off after 6 days, and then he committed suicide 12 days later. So they'd found him with marks on his neck, and he was unconscious, and I guess they put him on suicide watch after that. He had tried to take his own life. There was rumblings back then that maybe he didn't try to take his own life, that there was someone trying to actively kill him. No one really knows. But there are so many red flags on this story that it's worth noting and talking about. It's all that's on the media right now, so Phil, we had to talk about it. On August 12th, which was yesterday, Attorney General William Barr said there was, quote-unquote, serious irregularities in the prison's handling of Epstein, promising we would get to the bottom of what happened and there will be accountability. So there is a current investigation happening on it. The prison guard union had reportedly been complaining of understaffing in the prior weeks, and as a result of Epstein's removal from suicide watch, there is no video record of his death. So whenever you're on suicide watch, you are recorded.
Yeah.
They took him off suicide watch. There's now no evidence of how he killed himself. And now he's dead.
So, question?
We'll take questions now.
Okay.
And then I have more to talk about.
He was found with marks on his neck.
Previously.
Yeah. I'm assuming he was found unconscious?
Yes.
How are you going to have marks on your neck and nothing around your neck if it was suicide?
I'm also curious about that because they didn't specify. The only thing that I can assume is that he used the sheet from his bed to hang himself. But they didn't say it.
Okay. There would still be something he used.
You talking about on the newest suicide?
No. On the first one. Like, you don't just... It's not he's found with marks on his neck. He's found with something around his neck that caused marks.
Right.
Yeah, and none of the reports doesn't talk about... They just said he was found with marks around his neck.
Right.
They don't say he was using it. Like, they don't specify anything.
Well, I can only make the assumption that that's what the marks were from...
Well, yeah, but that... it sounds like somebody's trying to say, oh, well, he was found with marks on his neck, and then hope that everybody leaves it there.
That there could have been something more to it.
Yeah.
The weird part is, after he was put on suicide watch, so they took away his sheets. Apparently, when you're on suicide watch, you just sleep on a mattress. Mm-hmm. They take away anything that you could possibly use against yourself. And when they took him off suicide watch, of course, they gave him everything back. And that's when he apparently killed himself. The Department of Justice, there's a spokesperson named Carrie Kupich, something like that. She said in a statement that, or he, Carrie could go either way. That might be them calling me right now. Today, the Attorney General directed the Bureau of Prisons to temporarily, and this is where it gets even weirder, temporarily assign the warden of the place where he killed himself to the Bureau's National Northeast Regional Office, pending the outcome of the FBI and OIG investigations into the apparent suicide of the inmate. They also moved two guards to different positions. So
after the suicide,
because they said there was such a problem with this, that it was so odd that they started moving people around.
In moving people around, are any of them seen as moving up?
No.
Okay.
No, they're just shuffling.
Yeah.
They're shuffling because there was such a it was such a screw up. Like, I don't have everything written down here of all the things that people have said that went wrong, but if you look it up online, there are entire videos and lists dedicated to what they did wrong and how this guy ended up dead. Because this is a huge thing. This is a guy that was going to go to trial for sex trafficking. He's got connections to some of the most powerful people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he is taken off suicide watch and he ends up dead.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But if I were, because I am...
Did you forget what show you're on?
I would say that this smells terrible. And yeah. I think most people agree.
It also is almost all of the news stuff that at least I've watched with you. They don't just say he committed suicide. They say he died of apparent suicide.
Yeah, that's the thing they keep saying is apparent suicide.
And the article I read was showing like cardiac arrest.
Well, probably from the suicide.
Yeah.
The conspiracy theories that I've read have tied the suicide to... bribery, that he bribed the guards to allow him to commit suicide, that he was assassinated by the Clintons.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
Because that actually, you know, there was a story years ago about the Clintons assassinating people that crossed their path, which was debunked. That is the kind of conspiracy theory that like tin hat people wear and run off at the mouth and try to bullshit you.
Yep.
Or that it was either a Russian hit in favor of Donald Trump, or Donald Trump himself had ordered the hit. Trump, our glorious leader, himself.
Fearless leader.
Glorious and fearless. He retweeted a conspiracy theory that implicated the Clintons.
Oh, jeez.
Because that's the kind of president we have, is a guy that retweets a right-wing insane conspiracy theory about a political rival and nothing happens to him. I just want you guys to think about that for a second. That the president of the United States just pointed the finger at former President Bill Clinton and nothing is going to happen to him because of that. So this thing's weird. This is one of the biggest conspiracy theories I've seen in many, many years. And it's got enough smoke behind it that there could actually be something there. The investigation's happening right now. The problem is that the investigation is being led by William Barr, who is in Donald Trump's pocket. Yeah. It's very clear that even if Trump were responsible for this, nothing will happen because the Republicans control everything and none of them have the balls to stand up to President Donald Trump. But with that being said, I really do think that he bribed the guard. I think that Epstein killed himself. I truly believe he did. I think he was too scared to go to trial. He didn't want to go to jail, so he took his own life. It just so happens that the staff in this prison was either so overworked or so incompetent that it looks bad.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
I think that...
Okay, I was about to literally say, no, seriously, what do you think? I propose the question.
I think that it's likely that he wanted... to get out, you know what I mean? Like, he just didn't want to be in the situation.
Yeah, he didn't want to be in jail. He didn't want to go, because he was facing, if I remember correctly, it was either 45 or 75 years. Either way, at his age, it was a life sentence. But he would never get out of jail.
Yeah,
I almost think that it could have been an accident, as in he was trying to seem like he was trying to kill himself to get committed to a mental facility.
Oh, like he was trying to play the insanity card. Yeah. and screwed up.
Or that I am too much of a danger for myself to be in this environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get sent to a easier place to be.
Yeah, because I don't know if you guys have heard, but generally prisons are not pleasant places for pedophiles.
Pedophiles, yeah. No, they're... That's definitely what they say. Considering how many... Another theory, conspiracy theory, is he could have killed himself, but had the people that he knows in high places that know that if he goes to trial, that their name might come up, might be saying...
We'll help him.
Or, you don't want to... You already know you're going to prison. You don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, talking in his
you
ear
can just
to get him to.
Like,
yeah, but okay, but I feel like if that were a case, they were in his ear, there would have to be record of him having conversations with these people. Because you don't just go visit an inmate off the books.
That's true.
So,
but if they're high enough people...
You can.
Well, yeah, there's the conspiracy theory.
Well, but I'm saying you can have any conversation with an inmate and just have it look like a lawyer went in, because lawyers don't get monitored and lawyers can have cell phones.
That's true, too.
So...
Yeah. So, I mean, that they could have gotten to that lawyer. But, that, again, there's the conspiracy theories that President Trump got to. Or somebody. It could have been Bill Clinton. Clinton was not clean. No. Like, I was always a fan of Bill Clinton. Ace and I were talking about it today. I was always a fan of Bill Clinton. But I didn't realize at the time just how dirty he was.
Yeah.
You know? I defended Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump's accusations and the whole Butcher of Benghazi and stuff like that. But I also wouldn't put it past anybody to just be terrible people. And like Ace and I were talking about, I hope that they do catch whoever it is, the Clintons, the Trumps, anyone that was involved with the child sex trafficking. I hope they burn them. I hope they burn them real bad. And they're still going forward apparently with the trial despite him being dead, or at least they're going to do something. It doesn't just end. It's not over now.
It wasn't a trial just against him, was it? Wasn't it a trial against, like, the whole ring?
No, it was just him. So really? that was the fear, that he would flip on his conspirators. Let's say Donald Trump, and I'm not saying he did.
Yeah.
Important to say, this is all theoretical, but if Donald Trump was a part of that ring, if Donald Trump had paid for underage sex, and he was going to jail, and he could flip on Donald Trump or Bill Clinton or whoever and strike a deal of, you know, protective custody.
If you give us names, you get
something.
Yeah.
You either get a lighter sentence, or probably more realistic would be you get sent to a more secure facility, somewhere you'll be safer. Mm-hmm. He could have very well have flipped on him, but now he can't, because now he's dead.
Yeah.
There's your conspiracy theory. The question is, who killed Jeffrey Epstein? And I can't wait to see where this goes. I don't celebrate anybody's death, but he did not seem like the kind of person that should be, you know, really cried over very much. But other than what he could have provided for the authorities on the other people involved, we know that Donald Trump is a sex fiend, and we know that he likes younger women. Clearly, Bill Clinton's the same way. Apparently, even British royalty is tied into this. Mm-hmm, there's a conspiracy theory that the British royalty had him killed. There are so many people that wanted him killed so he wouldn't say what they were all involved in. If this guy, he could be the golden goose. He could fry everybody if they find the right evidence. Or if he had already made a deposition where he gave this information to a lawyer or something, they can still use that.
Or if he were even a little bit smart and had a kill switch, when he dies, something is released.
Yeah, and it goes out into the public.
Yeah.
Or, let me throw this at you. What if he didn't die?
What if it's a conspiracy?
What if it's a conspiracy? Yeah. What if they faked Epstein's death and he's going to go into, like, hiding?
Witness protection.
I know you're thinking, well, that's crazy. It's crazier than any other theory.
It's not really that. The witness protection thing is something that actually happens, like, kind of regularly, where they are dead and then years later.
Get a new life.
Yeah.
And he, depending on what information he had, that is a possibility. Because clearly you don't want a blatant pedophile out there, you know, devouring young women like he was doing. But maybe he was put in jail somewhere else under a different name. You know, because again, if you're in jail and you're such a high profile target who had sex with underage girls, man, you might as well you're blood in the water at that point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they could have cut him a deal, faked his death, sent him off, or he could just be dead. I don't know. This is a juicy, juicy story.
It probably depends on if we find out more.
I would think if
he did tell someone something, that there's a greater chance of him going into the witness protection program. Or
if we don't find anything out, there's a chance that
he got killed by someone.
That he killed himself because he just didn't want to go to jail.
If we don't find anything out, then it's we're doing an investigation when they're not really doing an investigation because he's in witness protection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the investigation is just a shroud.
Or technically, I mean, legitimately, if Donald Trump was involved, he could shut down the investigation. William Barr already has pledged his loyalty to Donald Trump. You remember what happened Robert Mueller, with the whole Mueller thing. William Barr is obviously in the pocket of Donald Trump, so they could just shut the whole thing down and we could never hear about this again. That's the sad part about it. Hopefully it's a Rorschach-type ending where Rorschach already had the journal with everything in it and deposited it at the newspaper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What if there's like a kill switch kind of thing?
Yeah, the insurance policy.
Actually, no, it's a dead man switch.
The break. So we'll see what happens. I'm very interested in this story. I know this isn't something we normally cover here, and I want to believe, but there's so much surrounding this. It's just fascinating to me. So, but let's move on to something creepier. This is the one I was talking about. This one also not supernatural in any way, but I think once you hear it, it's gonna make your skin crawl a little bit. So, this is from CNN because I'm gonna read it verbatim. It's better that way. One family's nightmare is over. They finally sold the home where they were terrorized by letters from The Watcher. Do you remember this story?
No.
This is something I have followed for years because I thought it was interesting, and we finally have a semi-resolution to it. So, well, I'll just let CNN explain it because that's why I wrote it down. Derek and Maria Brodus moved all their belongings into the Westfield. Got Warcraft on the mind. Westfall. Into the Westfield, New Jersey home between June and August 2014, but they never lived there because of threatening letters. Court documents show the couple bought the home for $1.3 million and spent about $100,000 on renovations. According to Zillow, they sold it in early July for approximately $959,000. So they took probably $400,000 to $500,000 hit on it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know. So what it is the moment they moved in, they started getting letters from someone calling himself The Watcher. No idea who it was. They never even got into the house. They started receiving these letters. The Watcher wrote three letters to the Brodus family shortly after they moved in, identifying details such as the family's car, the contractors whom they brought in to renovate, and even the couple's three children.
Yeah, because that's not creepy.
One of the letters read, 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. Oh, God, this is where it gets weird. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement? Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic? Or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom. Then I can plan better. And the letters went on like this for years. In 2015, the couple tried to sue the previous tenants, John and Andrea Woods, who had lived there for 23 years without incident, over claims of fraudulent concealment, intentional and negligent implication of emotional distress, and several other issues, but the case was dismissed.
Huh.
So, they got these letters. Did the letters go through the... Did someone walk by and put the letter in their mailbox, or did it actually go through the postal service?
I don't know. They hired a private investigator,
and they couldn't find anything out.
He was an ex FBI profiler to try to find the identity of the Watcher. Derek Brodus testified that the profiler concluded that it was someone in their 50s or 60s that lived nearby. The private investigator staked out the area and believed that the neighbors didn't quote unquote seem normal. Which is really weird. Westfield Police and the Union County Prosecutor's Office investigated, but no one was ever arrested and no suspects have ever been identified.
Hmm.
So whoever it was that was mailing these letters to them, the Watcher, got away scot-free. They have not disclosed the name of the person that had bought the house now, and they have also not said whether or not they've run across any letters. But between 2014 and 2019, they have had this house and never lived in it, because even when they weren't living there, this guy was still a guy, I'm assuming, was still sending letters to them identifying like their house, little intricate details, like he was stalking them.
That's, yeah, no.
Imagine being in that situation.
I'd rather not.
Suddenly those tapeworm infested snails seem pretty sweet, don't they? I always thought that was a very interesting story. It's not...
It's awkward.
It's one of those things where, like, truly the scariest monster was man.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. That should be a given.
Turns out it was man all along.
Because this guy was terrorizing this family, who I'm assuming he didn't know, they didn't know, and when you've got the police involved, you got the prosecuting attorneys involved, you have an FBI profiler involved, and no one can tell you anything. I agree with Allie. How the hell was this guy getting letters to them?
Yeah.
Because he either had to go to the post office and mail them, or he was just taking him up to their doorstep and laying it there or whatever. And no one ever saw anything? That seems so implausible.
Yeah.
It's got carrier pigeons that just drop them off.
Yeah. Or an owl named Hedwig. Hedwig.
You don't have to go to the post office.
I mean, there are other drop-offs and stuff.
That's true.
But you would...
It would still
I feel
have
like
to go
if they were
the
doing...
Post.
Yeah. If,
I mean, they're going to see that something doesn't have a return address on it. And
I wonder if they couldn't pull prints from the letters. I'm assuming the guy wore gloves.
But
like,
yeah, there's a way to get mail anonymously. It's incredibly easy, actually.
To get mail anonymously? To send
mail anonymously.
Yeah. Well, it still creeps the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So if you guys would like to join in on the fun, the address for that person's that just moved in is...
Shannon.
We can all send them letters.
No.
Of encouragement.
No.
All right, science bitch.
Somehow that's still creepy.
Letters of encouragement?
Yeah.
They'll just get a letter that says, like, hey, heard about your recent trouble. Hope everything's okay. Signed, The Watcher.
Yeah, still creepy.
Here's a mixtape I like. I made it for you. Oh. Signed, The Watcher. Do you like Dr. Phil?
Do you like To Catch a Predator?
Do you like RuPaul's Drag Race? Maybe we could watch it together sometime. The Watcher.
The Watcher.
All right, science bitch.
That's you, Calvin.
Yeah,
well,
I think
we all know that. He's science bitch. You're pop culture bitch, and you're anime bitch. You're cartoon bitch, and I am just head bitch in charge.
You are head bitch.
You got your DNA test back, and you're 100% that bitch.
Yes. Thanks to our friends over at 23andMe.
Yeah, that's a
.com. Is that a real one?
Okay. Yes.
This is from fizz.org. That's phys.org.
Yay, spelling.
A new Johns Hopkins University study now suggests that dark matter may have existed before the Big Bang. Of course, if you don't know what dark matter is, it's what they use in Futurama to...
Feed Nibbler.
To feed Nibbler and pilot the ship. The study, published August 7th in Physical Review Letters, presents a new idea of how dark matter was born and how to identify it with astronomical observations. From Tommy Tanakin, I apologize if I mispronounced that, postdoctoral fellow in physics and astronomy at the Johns Hopkins University, and the study's author says, the study revealed a new connection between particle...
Sorry.
Starting again. A new Johns Hopkins University study... No, I'm just kidding. The study reveals a new connection between particle physics and astronomy. If dark matter consists of new particles that were born before the Big Bang, they affect the way galaxies are distributed in the sky in a unique way. This connection may be used to reveal their identity and make conclusions about the times before the Big Bang. Because for a long time, researchers believe that dark matter must be a leftover substance from the Big Bang. Researchers have long sought this kind of dark matter, but so far, all experimental searches have been unsuccessful. Using a new simple mathematical framework, even a caveman could figure out.
Except
anyone that's not a nuclear physicist. The study shows that, or like a smarter than a fifth grader. The study shows that dark matter may have been produced before the Big Bang during an era known as the cosmic inflation, when space was expanding very rapidly. The rapid expansion is believed to lead to copious amounts of certain types of particles called scalars.
Yeah, I don't know the exact way to pronounce it either.
It's whatever. So far, only one particle has been discovered, the famous Higgs boson.
Yeah.
We do not know what dark matter is, but if it has anything to do with other scalar particles, I feel so stupid for a show about smart things, it may be older than the Big Bang. With the proposed mathematical scenario, we don't have to assume new types of interactions between visible and dark matter beyond gravity, which we already know is there. The new... shuffle my papers. New study also suggests a way to test the origin of dark matter by observing the signatures dark matter leaves on the distribution of matter in the universe. I hate these stories.
Multiple this is why I don't like reading things out loud.
Accurate.
I'm good at it until it gets smart.
Scientific.
While this type of dark matter is too elusive to be found in particle experiments, it can reveal its presence in astronomical observations. We will soon learn more about the origin of dark matter when the USLID, I think, satellite is launched in 2022. It's going to be very exciting to see what it will reveal about dark matter and if its findings can be used to peek into the times before the Big Bang.
Are
Calvin.
You, are you sure it wasn't Euclid?
That's what it is, Euclid. Yeah, okay. I left a letter off. Okay. Calvin, my question to you.
Yeah?
What the fuck does any of that mean?
Well, dark matter is matter that you can't see.
But does it matter?
It's mind over matter. What does matter? Never mind. What is mind? Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it accounts for most of the matter in the universe.
80%.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
It's way more than the matter me and you are made up of.
Well, speak for yourself.
I mean, I can see you.
At least someone can.
There are several theories behind it. Some are that it's... this almost extra-dimensional matter, which is why we can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I don't mean extra-dimensional as
it's like a ghost.
No, I mean like it has more or less dimensions than 3D.
You don't mean as in like it's on another dimensional plane. You mean no. It has more dimensions, like 3D, 4D, that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. See, I get it.
So it's occupying the same space. But because it has either extra or less dimensions, it isn't interactable in the same way.
Okay.
And we don't know how it would be interactable, if at all, by us.
And they think that it was a leftover of the Big Bang.
Well, that's one theory.
But now they're thinking that it could have been around before the Big Bang.
That's another theory.
So here's my question about this. How does this tie into the Christian God?
What?
Legitimately, like I said that as a joke, but what always trips me out about the creation of the universe is that when you hear stuff like this of, oh, this existed before the Big Bang. And as we know, the Big Bang is the creation of the universe. So if this existed before the Big Bang, and scientifically speaking, from what I understand, that nothing can be created or something cannot be created from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So how did any of this exist before creation? It doesn't make any, universe doesn't make any sense.
So there are...
you know what I'm saying, Allie?
Dark matter is God.
Okay, but then who created dark matter?
Who created God?
Exactly. It's a never-ending loop. There is no explanation for existence.
I don't like this game.
Whenever you talk about existence, there's always two theories. Well, there's a couple theories. But the big ones are God created everything or the Big Bang happened, right? But both of those are, to me, equally as puzzling because for the Big Bang to happen, things had to exist to explode and collide. And how did they exist if there was nothing in existence? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, how did the Big Bang first bang if there was nothing to bang?
If there was nothing to bang? Yeah.
The theory of the Big Bang theory is that there was something around.
Well, there's a couple different theories.
There were, I forget the exact names, but there were like molecules that collided and exploded and created this universe. But even that, like, where do the molecules come from? Where does anything come from?
Yeah. Where did you come from?
Linda Young and Willard Young. God rest their souls. There had to be a starting point, though.
Yes.
There has to be a point of existence where you go, that's when existence started. But at the same time, there can be no point of creation because it always existed. But how the hell does something always exist?
Go read that Stephen Hawking's book.
I refuse. I'll take that under cooperation. But right now, I think I'd rather read something that makes
objection?
Me feel...
My brain hurts.
It's I spend way too much time thinking about the creation of life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Because
well, the creation of life is a little bit different than the creation of the universe.
Well, when I say life, I mean the universe, the life of the universe. Okay. And they say the universe, is there an ending point for the universe? Is there a point where the universe stops? And if the universe does stop, what's beyond that point? Is it just black? Does that mean that it's there's something in the darkness we can't see? Or is it just a void of nothing? How the hell do you have a void of nothing? None of it makes any sense.
I mean,
and I don't understand
Janet
why the Bible can't give me answers. What?
Janet has a void.
Yeah.
This does not help in this situation.
So, right now, it's theorized that the universe is expanding into that void of nothing.
Right. It's constantly growing. Yes. Yeah.
And that there are no bounds to hold it in.
Which is impossible.
No, it's not.
It's just beyond our understanding because we don't live in that way.
Think of that statement because it's true. Like, I agree with you. But think of how casually you just said the statement. It could be infinite.
Yeah.
Because we, as humans, live in
a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction.
We are born and we know we will die. And the things around us also tend to have a lifespan.
Yeah, they exist.
So all of our understanding is with the beginning and an end.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that our understanding is the actual limit of how things work.
And that is always my argument when people say there is no existence of God.
It's a perceived beginning and perceived end.
Right, because there could be something
before and after.
The whole argument of, well, God doesn't make any sense, though there's a guy up in the clouds and you go up there. Like, I myself am not religious, but I would never 100% say there is no such thing as God because of things like the Big Bang and because of things like the universe where it doesn't make any sense. When you think about it from a rational, logical standpoint, it makes sense because you're told it makes sense. But if you think about it a lot, you go, that doesn't make any sense.
Which part doesn't make sense? The infinite thing?
All of it.
just the fact that we are alive and exist in the way that we do means that you can't really definitively say
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you can say one theory of how life came about is honestly just as crazy as the next.
So a lot of what you're saying, I get. And I understand what you're saying, and I, in some cases, I agree with it. I am looking at this from the standpoint of someone who has given up on trying to sound smart and is trying to explain things as was told to him. And just, I'm looking at it from just my own savage brain of like, how? How in the hell does any of this make sense? And you can say, well, the molecules and the Big Bang and all that. Okay. And like, I get that. But at the same time, man, that is a trip.
There's a concept.
And you getting this, Lindsay?
No.
This is a very baser concept. So it doesn't explain things away, but it makes it so that you can kind of imagine on a grand scale how the universe works or how the universe might work. It's still a theory. So the idea is that there's either a loop of scale or an oscillation of scale. And the loop would be the classic sci-fi trope of you zoom in on a molecule enough, eventually you get to the macro scale and you start seeing galaxies and stuff,
right?
It's all on a loop. Another one could be the Big Bang happened and everything expands out and then everything collapses in again because gravity. And that condensing causes the next Big Bang.
Isn't that the Futurama? They see the end of the world to see it happen again.
Yeah,
it loops.
Yeah.
But their loop is that everything happens the exact same way over and over again.
Actually, no, it wasn't. Everything was 2 feet down to the left.
Shut the hell up. Please, God.
The idea is that that time would also oscillate and be on a loop like this.
Yeah.
And so the idea of having alternate dimensions, timelines running parallel to ours, they're running parallel because, or they wouldn't appear to be running parallel to us, they would appear to be running one after another, because the universe cycles like that. But because that's not actually how time works, that's just how we perceive time.
It all happens at the same time?
Yeah, it's all happening at once.
So what happens when the universe dies? in this timeline? Is that truly the end? All universes end at the same time?
Well, they collapse down, and time collapses down, and then it expands again. And that's what causes the reset.
And then we all come back and do this over and over again?
But it would be slightly different each time.
It'll be, yeah.
And you eventually get the infinite supply, the many Ricks, right?
No!
Well, this is Universe 616.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive. I wouldn't mind reliving this life over again. It's kind of sucks sometimes, but for the most part, it's been pretty good. I've got great people, and I've been fortunate enough to do this show. But there are also people, like, I always think back to that beautiful 10-year-old girl that was raped repeatedly and then murdered and dismembered. And, like, I'd like to hope that she doesn't have to relive that for eternity. Because you know what that sounds like?
Hell.
There's another theory to that, which is it's all one person.
All one consciousness.
Yeah.
We've talked about that on the show before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're fragments.
It's like the idea of reincarnation. You come back just as another person.
Right.
Each time.
Until you cycle through everybody?
Every person that you've been nice to is you, and every person that you've hurt is you. The idea is...
Man, isn't that the truth? That's just my daily life.
All right. We're going to stop that one there. Lindsay, I propose this question to you.
I don't know that my brain can handle anything else right now.
Are horses pretty? I'm sorry.
I will beat you.
Real quick before we get to the main topic. Good conversation, by the way. I love it. And I agree with none of it. And all of it.
At the same time.
This is just a real quick thing. One of my favorite people and the best singer from Blink-182, Tom DeLonge.
Allowed to be wrong. We all agree on that.
He did an interview recently where he was with Lewis. I forget the last name. Alessandro? No. God, I forget his last name. I have so many names I have to keep in my brain. Screw you guys. They were talking. He's the leader of the whatever the hell, To the Stars Academy. Mm. And he's a big part of the search into UFOs and aliens and stuff. And I just love this quote from the interview, and I have to read it because it's awesome. They asked him, on one hand, Tom, your celebrity raises the profile of this issue, you know, UFOs and aliens and stuff. On the other, authorities might take you less seriously because you used to write songs about fucking dogs. Has it been difficult to navigate those two worlds? And just so you know, his reply was, yeah, I would always tell my team, you're dealing with the punker. I've spent decades running around saying obscenities, offending people, doing whatever the fuck I want to do. That's the name of the game where I come from. Carving your own path and not caring about what anyone says. Okay, he kind of sounds like a douchebag here. Then all of a sudden, everything I say matters to the credibility of something so important I can't even really begin to digest or understand to the extent of, which this is going to change our world. But all the conversations my team and I have had are very evolved and self-aware. Believe it or not, we have very long conversations about what we're going to talk about publicly, not because we don't have the facts, but because people aren't ready for the facts.
That's the truth.
So it must be very hard to be Tom DeLonge and be known for his Blink-182 music and then all of a sudden go, it would be like if Johnny Knoxville suddenly became a politician and was like, take me seriously. But then you can go watch videos of him like drinking horse semen and getting shot in the face with ballistic bullets. You know, that's my notes. That's
wow.
All right, that brings us to our main topic of the night. It's kind of a simple one, but it should be fun. We watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark on Sunday.
Is your brain okay?
No,
he just really wants to say, are you afraid of the dark?
Because that's also a movie that they were making.
They're supposedly still in the process of doing it.
I believe it when I see it.
I haven't looked anything up on it recently.
Also, new trailer out for the... I'm going to do this for Lindsay. We'll talk about it tomorrow on After Dark. But it's kind of sci-fi
Thursday.
Related. So. What's tomorrow?
Wednesday.
Oh, do we have to do wrestling?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a new trailer for...
you've already forgotten.
Skitter Fries. Skittles. Skittle Flies. What is it called? Dark Crystal.
We watched it this morning.
No, we watched it when you... Did we watch it this morning?
Yes. You played it before I left the store this morning.
That's right. I knew that. Dark Crystal has a new trailer. It looks really good. Anyway, we saw...
Skittle Fries?
Skittle Fries.
Skittle, because they're flying around and they're very colorful.
Okay.
Like Skittles.
Skeksis.
Skeksis. That's what they're. Skittles. Skeksis. Hardcore Skeks.
Do not call us Skeksy Sexy. That's a bad road to go down.
And yet, I think if I rule 34 it...
Please
it's
don't.
There.
I don't want to know if it exists.
You know it exists. You're just trying to keep it out of your brain. Anyway, yeah. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. We watch it on Sunday really quick. We're not going to give any spoilers, but we will give our review. We do not follow Jesse Kimball's review system on Nerd Up, only because I don't remember it.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, go ahead, because we'll keep it uniform.
It's like full price, matinee, rent it, skip it.
Yeah. Very good. Let's start with Allie. What do you got?
I would probably do a matinee. I'm not going to tell someone to go pay full price if they don't want to. If they care, if they want to, sure, that's fine. But matinee.
Are you taking like a moral stand against like theater prices? What is that explanation? I wouldn't tell anybody to go pay full price.
I mean,
you're making it sound like it's a social justice issue.
It's not what I'm trying to do.
It's a couple bucks is what it is.
What?
Have you been to the theater?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's terrible socially.
Interesting.
So you say matinee.
Yes.
Lindsay, what about you?
I'll give it a full price.
You have full price?
I enjoyed it.
I would also give it a full price. So Allie's the odd woman out in this one.
That's fine.
Calvin hasn't seen it.
I would rent.
Rent it at home?
Yeah. That's his answer for everything, yeah, though.
That's something different.
Hey, I saw Detective Pikachu in theaters.
How was that? Full price?
Sure, yeah.
I agree. So, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I really liked it. It's a great... It's hard to describe because it wasn't like a perfect film. It was very campy in areas. Some mm-hmm. of it was kind of cringy. There's a line from the trailer that's in the movie that still makes me cringe every time I hear it. The book reads you. And it's such a cringy line. Mm-hmm. I think if I hadn't seen it in the trailer, I would have probably liked it more. But as a whole... The movie was good. The characters were competent. The important thing is that the stories from the books were given pretty good justice.
Yeah. They translated quite a few of the drawings
they did.
Accurately.
And the segments with the monsters only lasted like 4 or 5 minutes apiece. They were short, but they were good. Harold, because there's four of them. Pretty much. There's Harold, and that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. There was...
The Red Spot.
Well, we're going in order.
Oh,
going in order.
Okay.
The Big Toe,
uh-huh.
which was also really good. Mm-hmm. That... The Big Toe segment had one of the most nerve-wracking moments I can ever remember in a horror film where I won't say what happened, but there is an extended scene where it gets super quiet.
Yeah.
And I got so nervous, I started twisting in my seat. I just wanted it to end because I knew it was going to happen. So kudos to that one. The Red Spot, which was probably the weakest one, I thought. Because
I get that.
It was gross, but the spiders were all CG. So that kind of took me out of it. The Jangly Man, which I liked, but he was all CG, and that threw me off. When everything else...
You said you were going in order.
Yeah, I skipped
and
one.
And you skipped one.
The Pale Lady.
Yes.
The Pale Lady was my absolute favorite one.
Yeah, that was so creepy.
The ending with the Pale Lady was legitimately... Like, I felt claustrophobic.
All of these sound like Courage the Cowardly Dog episodes.
I mean, well, they could have basically. Easily been inspired by them.
Yeah,
that's true. But I highly recommend Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It was a fun horror film. The cool thing about it was rated PG-13, so you can bring your kids if you want to
traumatize them
a little bit.
I mean, that's what the books did to us as a kid.
That's true. We're just passing along to the next generation. They purposely went with a PG-13 rating because they did not want to exclude kids from being able to go see this movie.
Especially since these were books.
These are kids' books.
Yeah.
Sort of.
They're kids' books in the sense that kids bought them at the book fair.
Uh-huh.
I did, and I regretted it.
Wait. These weren't banned, but Harry Potter was?
Well, yeah.
It was a different time, Calvin.
And they didn't teach kids about witchcraft and godlessness. You godless sodomite.
Wow.
Was that like your hick accent?
What was his name? The intolerant chicken from Conan O'Brien. Was it Chaz or something like that? So there's an argument now of, do you need an R rating to make a scary movie? Because some of the best scary movies in history. Well, you won't let me get the goddamn thing out before you agree with me.
I was answering your question.
You will wait till I ask the question.
You did.
You will wait till I elaborate on the question.
Okay.
Calvin, some of the best scary movies of all time have been rated R. You have your Nightmare on Elm Streets. You have your Friday the 13th, Halloween, Child's Play, American Werewolf in London. Like, some of the best horror films ever.
Wait, was that really R?
Which one?
American Werewolf in London?
Oh, yeah. It was gory as hell. And nudity.
Oh, yeah, there was nudity.
The last part takes place in a porn theater in England.
I was just thinking about, like, all the transformations in my head. I'm like, those aren't, like, super bad.
No. The nudity at the end, that woman was very buxom.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Showed a lot. So people say that you have to be rated R because a lot of people think that unless you have sex, nudity, and violence and gore, you can't make a scary movie. Now, do you guys agree with that?
No.
Thank you.
So one of the movie, one of the direct to TV Disney movies, the first one to get a PG-13 rating was Don't Look Under the Bed.
Which came out at Halloween time.
Yes.
Oh, I do remember that. That was the Jared Fogle story.
It scared people.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I'm going to look up Don't Look Under the Bed.
What was
the poster for it's cheesy as all get out.
Yeah.
What was the rating on the thing? Like the original one? Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's super gory. I know gory. It's
gory, but like...
This?
Gordon.
Yeah.
This is your movie that again, was scaring people? Yeah,
it was. It was unsettling.
No, I've seen
the I'm pretty sure he's seen the movie.
I have.
Well, hopefully not from that poster.
I mean, it was a Disney Channel original movie.
The posters have to be kind of...
Well, let me read off some of the movies that were PG-13 or less that are legitimate horror classics, in my opinion, to squash that. I think Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark will someday be a horror classic. I think people will look at that and go, that's a great horror film. That's a Halloween tradition, watching
I
that one there.
I see that, yeah.
Insidious was rated, well, not R. No, I don't know what the exact rating was. It wasn't R.
Drag Me
to
Hell. Probably PG-13.
Mama, Quiet Place.
Okay.
Happy Death Day. The Ring. The Grudge.
Wait, The Grudge?
The psychological horrors.
You have... Did you watch The Grudge?
That's one of my favorites.
That's got a whole lot of gore in it.
Are you talking about The Grudge or Ju-on? The Japanese one or the American one?
The Japanese one.
Okay. So I'm talking about the American one.
Oh. What's the American one?
The Grudge.
Well, but I mean, like, what's the...
They tweaked it.
Have you not watched the American version? With Sarah Michelle Gellar?
It's not just dubbed.
Like, it's got Buffy the Vampire Slayer in it? You never seen it?
No, I think I might be confusing them in my head. Which is the one with the chick that lost the jaw?
That's The Grudge.
Okay, that is super gory. What do you mean?
Yeah, they straight ripped her jaw off. But there was no nudity.
It depends on how much blood was with
her,
it.
Her tongue is hanging out of her throat.
Yes.
So, the Tarantino movie that made blood green, wasn't that it?
Are you talking about Kill Bill, where they silhouetted everything so you couldn't see the
blood? No. Wasn't it From Dusk Till Dawn?
No, are you thinking of Dawn of the Dead, where they made the blood orange to avoid the NC-17 rating?
I don't remember blood being orange.
Yeah, go back and watch Dawn of the Dead, the original.
I remember we were watching, it might have been the horror movie documentary series that we watched.
On Shudder.
Yeah. That I remember a movie talking about, they changed the color of blood so that they didn't have to.
I think you're talking about Dawn of the Dead, because Dawn of the Dead was rated R, but it was going to get a harsher rating because it was so bloody. So they made the blood very comical, so that way it looked less serious. Other ones here, though, The Sixth Sense, rated PG-13. The Others. The Uninvited is one of my favorite movies of all time. More so Chinese. Is it Korean? I think it's Korean. The Korean one. But yeah, The Monster Squad's not a scary movie. That's a bad example. In fact, now it's just getting bad. I'm not going to say Willard or Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Hey, that's
you
movie's
don't want that
terrifying.
Cotton candy?
Okay, and that's the end of it.
That
okay,
movie
so
is terrifying if you're in
Poltergeist.
I like Poltergeist.
All I'm saying is, like, you don't have to have blood and breasts to be a scary film, you know?
Mm. You don't have to be stereotypical.
It's such a misconception that you have to, like, be adult to be adult. It's like whenever they make M-rated games and, like, they talk about how Grand Theft Auto was an adult game. Grand Theft Auto was not an adult game.
I know more 12-year-olds who play Grand Theft Auto than I do adults.
Yeah, the writing...
And I know more adults who play Minecraft than I do 12-year-olds. The hell is happening?
A legitimate adult game would be like The Witcher, which is very serious. It deals with serious issues. There is nudity and violence in it, but it's treated respectfully, as opposed to GTA, where it's just one big frat joke. I don't call those adult movies, or adult games. And same thing with films. I don't think you need a hard R rating to get a good scary movie, but there is a big misconception that you do. So that's your lesson of the day, I guess. mostly because it's now hurting to talk.
Aww.
Just for the record. So if you guys have anything you would like to contribute, please do so now.
No, I mean, you could probably do the same thing with games.
What, that they don't have
horror games? Yeah, I don't think
the best.
There
horror
are a
games.
Bunch of T horror games that are really good.
Fatal Frame.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Fatal Frame was rated M.
What is Alien Isolation rated?
M.
Is it M?
Okay. You know what? Let me check on that because if there is, it has to be for gore. I don't remember there being.
I don't think there's any nudity.
I don't think there's any nudity or anything in it.
There might be some language, but.
Oh, God. Don't tell me. Fatal Frame is rating pending. Bullshit. It's been out for 30 years.
They making a new one?
Okay. The first Fatal Frame was rated T. But for some reason, the Xbox version was rated M, I think. And then the rest of them were definitely rated M. So
did they just up the gore on the Xbox version, maybe?
Okay, it's rated T. That was a fake cover.
Oh, okay.
I found it. What was the other one we mentioned?
Alien Isolation.
Alien Isolation.
Because that's like a psychological kind of...
Yeah, but the fact that it's still the Xenomorph. Thing.
Yeah, I know.
And the Xenomorph is almost like, it's rated M. It's almost like an automatic M rating just because of the way it looks. Plus, I don't know
and
if you noticed.
And you get like chest bursters and stuff, you know.
And those eggs kind of just look like vaginas.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird, like, are you talking about when they open up?
When they open up, they kind of look like vaginas.
Who has like a cross-section vagina that you know?
That I know personally? Yeah. Or?
That's really weird.
I didn't say they were vaginas. I was saying they
are reminiscent of.
Well, was it H.R. Geiger or is it Giger? I never know how to pronounce his last name.
I think it's Geiger.
He designed. Pickens? What's that?
H.R. Pickens.
No, definitely not H.R. Pickens. This guy was not weak. He did designs for like Alien and stuff like that. You know, and all that. And he very much like he was really into that sexual horror stuff.
Yeah.
Like the depiction, if you there's so much, even the chest burster and that whole process
is supposed to look
it's rape.
Phallic. Yeah.
And it's rape because you're forcing the entity and all that. So yeah, they definitely were made to look like vaginas. And this is the most time we've ever said vagina on this show.
It's not even Thursday.
No, because I said vagina, not axe wound or gut locker or.
That's fine, just stop.
I've got more.
I know you do.
And they almost entirely all come from the Bloodhound Gang song Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo. No?
Wow.
Okay, well, hell. I thought it was good. Apparently they don't like Bloodhound Gang.
I never listened to it.
Now a real scary game, PT.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
Scariest thing I've ever played in my life. And that, I don't
Did
think
that ever actually, get a rating?
I don't think it had a rating, but there was no reason that it would be anything other than T. Other than some blood. Like, there was no cussing, there was no nudity, but it was terrifying. And that's the thing is, like, people equate horror with a game like Splatterhouse.
Yeah.
Because it's super bloody entrails and stuff like that. And it's a cool game, but, like, that's not what horror is. Horror, it makes you afraid. And you name one person that was ever scared by. I'll let Freddy Krueger slide in the first movie because that's a pretty scary concept. But Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 versus whatever, Friday the 13th, maybe Halloween I could give you because, you know, it came out during a different time. But no one was afraid of those just because they, you know, no one's afraid of those characters. They're cool. A real horror story, like, digs in and makes you afraid to walk down
the
hallway at
the
night.
Spielberg thing where you never see the monster until the very end.
That's always good, especially if you have a low budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Super 8 style.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Cloverfield. You didn't get a good look at the monster till the very, very end. You know, don't want to do that in a movie like Godzilla.
Fair.
Because that's what they did in the American one. You got 20 minutes of Godzilla in a 2.5-hour film, and no one was happy, especially this guy. Anyway, Allie, you were going to make a point.
I was going to mention that Bendy and the Ink Machine wasn't necessarily like really scary, but especially when playing it, you got the nervousness that I think you described while watching that scene.
Horror movies are supposed to make you uneasy. They're supposed to make you afraid. Like, what's that stupid game called? Five Nights at Freddy's made you more afraid than. Yeah. But that's also because it was just a giant jump scare.
Yeah.
And jump scares are, by the way, the weakest aspect of horror.
But they get me every time.
Well, they're supposed to because it's a loud, shocking noise. But that's not
it's
scary.
Just body's natural reaction.
Right. I think the scariest part of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was the ending, the whole Pale Lady scene. I wish I could say what happened, because it would, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. It's so frightening what happened to him. And it was nothing but her walking. And it was still one of the most frightening things I've ever seen in a horror film.
Yeah.
No nudity. No, well, actually, there probably was. She was just a giant blobbish form. You didn't see anything.
There's also like the psychological horror. And I think that this is rated R. It's on Netflix. It's the Sex, Love, and Robots or whatever.
Yes. Which one?
The one where the murder scene happens.
Oh, she relives it over and over again.
Well, it inverts where she murders the guy who murdered her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's the implication is goes on and on forever.
And that wouldn't have been rated R had it not been for that nudity.
Well, yeah, but which was, I mean,
pointless, but still.
They were just, yeah.
They're just breasts. Get over yourself, America.
Well, I was just saying they were just having fun with animation, but the nothing about that is overtly scary,
right?
But it's like a kind of a terrifying concept.
Yeah, yeah. And which is, it doesn't have to be in your face, like getting your head chopped off and stuff like that. Like it's little things that make you the most scared. Was Haunting of Hill House, was that rated R, or I guess what would it be?
I don't
on?
Remember.
What was Bendy and the Fishing?
I liked
I guess it would
it.
Be rated M, no, wouldn't it? Rated? If it was on TV.
Oh, TV, it would have been O.
Allie?
I can't. I'm looking that up right now.
Because there was definitely no nudity. Well, there was that scene where the girl was having sex with the other girl, but I don't think they showed anything. No. I think she was in her underwear, but that was it. And I don't remember if there was any cursing.
I don't even remember
but
that.
But that was one of the scariest shows.
Yeah, I was on edge.
The entire time.
On that one.
The Terror. There were parts of that that were pretty.
I really
like,
enjoyed
really
that
creepy.
One.
And that one, even though it had a little bit of gore and a little bit of like, I think there was one F word. There was one F word in the entire series. That was on AMC. And that is, you know, television. So, yeah, you don't have to, like, go over the top to be scary. And I wish more filmmakers would think of that.
What was the show with the pirate puppets?
Kendall Cove.
Yes.
Channel Zero.
Channel
that
Zero.
Was so unsettling.
And that first season was also censored. And
was
after
it?
That, yeah, because remember after that, they started doing the uncensored ones for the other seasons. They were actually, they had, like, F words in it and stuff, which I didn't. It's unnecessary. There's an unnecessary belief that you have to be like vulgar and you have to be gory to be scary or good. And I've always hated that. Just like you don't need random sex scenes in there. It doesn't really add anything usually. There are sometimes it does, but usually doesn't. Anyway, that's my high horse. That's my soapbox. I'm going to climb off it now. We can get out here and go eat because my throat hurts so bad right now. I'm going to be done talking. Allie, did you find anything out?
It literally just keeps showing me reviews.
And they're all good.
It won't show me a rating.
Did you look up rating?
Yes, I looked up TV rating.
Look up, it's not important. It was a fantastic show. Anyway, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Go watch it. That's going to do it for us here on I Want to Believe tonight. And if you're like us, you want to believe that next time we'll have more ghosts and aliens and robots. Because they're always in danger. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's wrestling.
It exists.
It's wrestling. You know what it is. And then Thursday After Dark, where we'll maybe give a spoiler review of the movie for people that want to know. Until then, Podzilla1985.com. If you want to catch up on the old episodes, Spotify, my personal favorite way to listen to the episodes, only goes back 100 episodes. So if you're new to the show, if you want to catch some of the older shows, some of the older I Want to Believes, you can find it on Podzilla1985.com. That's P-O-D-Z-I-L-L. Well, that's what you're listening to.com. You can put it together. You're smart. Separate it by whatever show you want to do. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. $1 gets you all the pre-shows for every show, which is a lot of fun. We talked about my incident at Dollar General today on the pre-show. That was pretty funny. Probably said some other stuff too. I don't remember.
Maybe a little bit.
And then Facebook.com/Podzilla1985 or catch us on Twitter. Look up Podzilla1985. Interact with us. Our favorite fans do, and we love you guys so much for it. All right, that's it. I'm going to go home and swallow some salt or something and try to get this better. You guys have a good night. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Keep watching the skis. Skies. Good night. Good night.